Off the ball. Rugby.
I think Prendergast is going to be the 10 in the World Cup in 27. I think his ceiling is higher. I think he's got more natural ability than Crowley.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, Carlo Ward evokes the granny rule to add a new face to her first Ireland squad. Arnold Slot calls for cool heads but not cool legs from the Liverpool players. And Manchester United's part owners Ineos are sued by the All Blacks. But first, Charlton midfielder Melissa Phyllis has been included in the Ireland squad for their upcoming Nations League games against Turkey and Slovenia later this month. The 22-year-old of Turkish descent was born in Essex and played for England up to under 23 level. Phyllis qualifies for Ireland through her Mayo-born mother and has been given international clearance by FIFA to switch allegiance. Having come through the Arsenal Academy, Phyllis was just 16 when she made her debut for the Gunners, helping them win the WSL in 2019. She had dropped down to the Championship to play a season with the London Bees before a three-year spell at West Ham and then joined Charlton last summer. Phyllis is the only young cap player in the squad, which has been decimated by recent retirements of Niamh Fahey, Diane Caldwell and Julianne Russell. Lily Ag, Louise Quinn, Jamie Finn, Jessu and Tara O'Hanlon are all missing through injury. Here's Carla Ward on Ireland's latest acquisition.
Yeah, so Mel's family are Irish, from Dublin, and she's had an Irish passport ever since she came back to the UK. So I think something that she probably would have hoped to have had some involvement before, but obviously she's gone through the England age groups up until 23s just recently, but something a little bit different. She's, you know, she's hardworking, she's aggressive, she's front-footed. Like I said, something a little bit different to maybe what we have. So an opportunity to for her to come in and hopefully improve what we're trying to do.
Katie McCabe is listed as a defender in the squad list and Ward's been outlining how she'll utilise the captain.
Yeah, look, Katie's a top, top player. I said it playing against her, you know, she's a world-class left-back and if she, you know, she can play anywhere. But we're going to utilise her to the best of her abilities within the system that I want to play. I think that will allow her to be a little bit more attacking. But look, she's a top player and we need her on the front foot. She creates a lot of problems going forward. She does that for Arsenal and that will be no different for us.
Former Ireland men's international Alan Mahon was yesterday confirmed as an assistant head coach to Ward, as was current Liverpool women's assistant manager Amber Whiteley, with Emma Byrne remaining as the goalkeeping coach. The squad will gather on Sunday with Tallaght Stadium hosting the meeting with Turkey on Friday week. Ireland then go to Koper to play Slovenia 4 days later. Joe Gomez has been ruled out of the final Merseyside derby at Goodison Park. The Liverpool defender suffered a recurrence of a hamstring injury in Sunday's shock FA Cup fourth round defeat away to Plymouth. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who missed Liverpool's last two games with a hamstring issue of his own, has trained before the trip across Stanley Park. Tomorrow's game marks the start of a potentially season-defining fortnight, where Liverpool play five games against the likes of Manchester City, Aston Villa and Newcastle. Arne Slot has called for calm heads from his players.
Yeah, cool heads, but not cool legs. So every time you play against a team that wants to fight with you, and that's almost every time we play against any opponent, but maybe this one even more, you have to be ready for that. So you have to run just as much, you have to be just as intense in tackles, not going across the line, but be cool enough to play a good and firm tackle. And that's where it starts with. And then 9 out of 10 times, after 10, 15, 20 minutes, a game settles down a bit. And then you can start to think even more about playing football. But like I said, last season in the first 10 minutes, there were 10 free kicks in favor of Everton. And I think you know what they did with these free kicks. They brought them in every single time. And it led in the end, I think, after 10, 15 minutes to their 1-0. So yeah, cool hat. But not cool legs.
The Dutchman has described the performance of a much-changed team on Sunday as unacceptable, while some have spoken of the positive of freeing up some space to make an early exit from the FA Cup. Slot doesn't see it that way.
There was a wise man that once said to me, nothing good comes from losing a football game, and I completely agree. So we would definitely have preferred to play 6 games in 18 days, or 7 in 21, or 8 in 24, because that's the schedule we are in. Now, with us losing this game, there's one moment where we have a normal week. But that's definitely not what we wanted when we went to Plymouth. We were, how should I say this? It was difficult because the plan was, of course, to play with Joe for 60 minutes or longer. The plan was to start Curtis. But he came out Sunday saying that he didn't feel well enough to play. So then all of a sudden we missed two important players. I think people know Darwin's situation, that he became a dad 1 or 2 days before the game. So and that happened in Spain. So he came in a bit later. So there were some circumstances that weren't perfect when it comes to... The idea was to play with an even stronger team than we did now. But still, this team should have been able to win that game. And the fact that we didn't, and we didn't against PSV as well, also tells us that these players definitely need these games to get the best out of them, because it's so difficult to get the best out of them if they hardly play any games. And that's why, again, it's disappointing that we don't have this extra game for them in 18 days.
Ahead of tonight's Champions League playoff at the Etihad, Carlo Ancelotti has described the rivalry between Manchester City and Real Madrid as the greatest in Europe in recent years. The two heavyweights will do battle over two legs for a place in the last 16 against either Atletico Madrid or Bayer Leverkusen. Ancelotti admits he's surprised by City's recent struggles.
I'm surprised. Of course I'm surprised. They had a period where for them was difficult to move on, to pass through the difficulties, the injuries, and they lost point, but now the team that I saw in the last two or three games is a good team, really competitive team. As usual, I have a doubt to think that Man City is not so strong. Man City is really strong with fantastic player and, as I said, with a fantastic manager.
But having won each of their last four home games in all competitions, Pep Guardiola believes his City side go into tonight's game in a far healthier state.
Well, of course, it will be a good boost if everybody come back and we are fit. But it's like I said, your colleague, we were unstable this season when we were not in the past. So we achieve what we achieve in the trebles and quadruples, and you know how difficult it is, you know, to prove it. And every season in this country, especially, so it's because we were a machine. We were a, it doesn't matter what happened, we were there. Of course, we can lose at the last minutes, and the opponents are good. In the Champions League, we have many cases during these 9 years here. I've been here, moments at Tottenham's, or, you know, moments that in the last minutes we could go through, no through. But always we come back, we come back. This season struggled a lot. Of course, it would be good to continue for the club, for the prestigious to be in this competition, but I like to feel that we are week by week, month by month, we are there. Now I would feel, yeah, the team is consistent, we can do it. Now it's like, I don't know. I know the game plan tomorrow, I know the way we want to play. We still have doubts for the selection, because we have still injuries and people come back. But at the same time, always I'm in this type of draws and competitions, I'm so optimistic and calm, and we'll see what happens.
Kick-off tonight is 8 o'clock. Elsewhere, Liverpool will have an eye on the all-French meeting of Brest and PSG, as the eventual winners could play the Premier League leaders in the last 16. Juventus entertain PSV and Sporting welcome Borussia Dortmund to Lisbon. Meanwhile, Celtic will be able to pick Dyson Maeda in tomorrow night's first leg at home to Bayern Munich. Two-match ban following his red card against Young Boys has been reduced to a single match, clearing the Japanese international to play at Parkhead tomorrow night. League One, Exeter City will look to pull off a major shock in the FA Cup fourth round tonight. They host the Premier League high flyers Nottingham Forest at St James's Park, with the winners set to be at home to Ipswich in the fifth round. Exeter boss Gary Caldwell says they'll have to execute their game plan to perfection if they beat one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I just think, look, you have to be clear that we are playing against a Premier League team, a Premier League team that's playing extremely well. They're going to come with confidence. They are bigger, they are stronger, they are quicker. But you have to come up with something, myself, the coaching staff, and convince the players that on the night, if we carry out certain things, we can win the game. That, you know, as for me, has been apparent from my cup run in 2013 when I was with Wigan. We played better teams who had better players, but we managed to come up with game plans and found a way within those games to win those games. So that understanding and that clarity has to come through the work that we do from now until Tuesday. We need to give the players that belief on the training pitch. We need to show them the footage, the videos of what we're looking for them to do. And then we have to trust the players on Tuesday night that they can go and carry that out. And that is, you know, that is no different to a League One game. It's the same process. I think this time the understanding of how we're going to do it and carrying that out for 100 minutes is going to be so important.
Manchester United's part owners Ineos have yet another problem on their hands. New Zealand Rugby is taking legal action against Jim Ratcliffe's company, alleging they withdrew from their sponsorship deal 3 years early. Ineos signed a contract to become the All Blacks' performance partner from 2022 to 2027. New Zealand Rugby say they had no option but to sue after Ineos failed to pay the first instalment of the 2025 sponsorship fee, confirming its decision to exit their six-year agreement. And thousands are expected to line the streets to pay their final respects to Manchester United and Scotland legend Dennis Law this afternoon. The former striker's funeral is taking place at Manchester Cathedral. Regarded as one of Old Trafford's greatest ever, he also played for Huddersfield, Manchester City and Torino. Journalist Graeme Hunter will be there, and on last night's Off the Ball, he paid tribute to his fellow native of Aberdeen.
And then over the years, I was so proud to be invited by the Dennis Law Legacy Trust and Street Sport to join them to help promote Dennis's work in our shared home city and to help Dennis's organisation to attract three Johan Cruyff courts to Aberdeen. It was originally formed because there were a group of men who felt that Dennis hadn't been properly honoured by the city, so they campaigned and gradually got recognition for him and built a statue of him. And then it was turned very directly towards supporting something called Street Sport, which back in the day was just getting volunteers to turn up with sports facilities, originally maybe a back of a van with cones and footballs or basketballs, but gradually building a lorry that could unfurl a portable playing arena on dark winter nights, everybody giving of their own time and taking it into areas of Aberdeen. Those who haven't been there might not know that it was the oil capital of Europe. I grew up in a city that was unnaturally wealthy because of oil. And as the oil industry has declined, it has turned out that over many years now, Aberdeen's council hasn't properly invested the money, hasn't really thought about the future. And as such, there are some deprived communities whereby there was quite a lot of nuisance behaviour, and the cops were being called or the fire brigade were being called out for things that were not major crimes, but were damaging to society and were using up resources. Street Sport went literally... Maybe this is going to sound corny, but they would appear out of the darkness one a winter night or an autumn night, and they would be volunteering and out in the streets 5-6 nights a week, and they would bring sports facilities to a street corner or to a car park. And I don't quite know how it became known, but kids would appear and play sport and participate and fight. We all know what sport does for you if you haven't been involved in it and you're a youngster. It teaches you values. It gives you something to do. Many, many kids who either maybe aren't eating enough or have a difficult home background or are committing minor nuisance crimes want a purpose, want something to make them feel worthwhile, validated. That began to happen. The crime stats plummeted. And when the Johan Cruyff organisation decided that they would like to offer a town in Scotland, a city in Scotland, Johan Cruyff courts with the 14 rules, the metal cage that's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with AstroTurf and two goals, and Johan Cruyff's 14 rules about participation and about teamwork, they started thinking about I dare mention the ugly sisters of the old firm in Glasgow and Edinburgh. And the Dennis Law Legacy Trust got in touch and said, you know that there's only one Ballon d'Or winner in Scotland. It's Aberdeen's Dennis Law. Johan was a Ballon d'Or winner. Why don't you think about us? And they united, and there are now three Johan Cruyff courts in Aberdeen.
And you can hear more of that chat with Graeme Hunter by becoming an Off the Ball member now.